definitely human.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
The Monster Hunters. Episode 1, The Discotheque of Nights.
It is midnight, Count Orloff. New Year is upon us.
Yes, it is now 1771, the year of my triumph. The time of blood is upon us. All will bow down before my power. I, Count Orloff, will rise. Rise like a mighty...
Not if I can help it, Count.
Do you mind? I was in the middle of that.
Where was I?
Oh, yes. Rise like a mighty eagle soaring through the...
Have at you, sir.
Oh, fine. Go on, then.
Your skills with the blade are impressive.
Cheers. I have had 500 years practice.
Oh, my sword! Ow, my knee!
And now you are at my mercy. Finally, the great Ignatius Chesterfield will kneel before me.
I can't. It hurts too much.
Okay, fine. Just squat. It's all the same to me. Very soon you will be dead, and I will have mild indigestion. It's always the same when I eat after midnight. Now, where shall I start? Your breath! That smell! I can't penetrate its fragrant barrier!
Garlic, sir! Surely you don't expect me to meet you unprotected. And there's something else you've forgotten.
What's that?
This, my secret steak.
What? Well, that's not fair. How could I have forgotten that? I never even knew about it.
Gotcha!
What? No!
Years ago, the forces of evil were finally vanquished into hell. For years, the city of London slept. Until now. For today, in this year of our Lord, 1971, the evil has returned to challenge our modern world. And modern horrors need modern heroes. Roy Steele, second best big game hunter in the world. Fighter, lover, a man of action with all the actions of a man. And Lorimer Chesterfield, leading professor of occult studies at London's London University, legend handler and science wrangler. Take two elements, any two elements, say electricity and water. On their own, perfectly harmless. But when you mix them together, maybe in a bowl, dynamite. My name is Sir Maxwell House. I took those two elements and, like some kind of scientific blacksmith, I forged them together. Forged them into a team that would look danger in the eye and bring it down with the knowledge of a man and the fist of a man. They are the Monster Hunters.
Born Free. I love that movie. Those lions. And when they make them play golf with the thing... You know, the stork. Suki, stop looking like that and fix my guests a scotch. You cats want a scotch? Of course you do. Better just be a single for you, Chesterfield. You're driving. That's three scotches, Suki, and some of those little biscuits.
Why are we here, Sir Maxwell?
That's a good question, Roy. A damn good question.
And?
And what?
The answer.
To what? Oh, to the question. Right, come in, gentlemen.
We're in.
Well done. Take a look at these photographs.
What photographs?
What? Oh, yes. Silky, the photographs!
Gosh, girls!
Mm, Lovely.
In the last 7 months, 5 girls have been found dead, their bodies left on building sites, bodies drained of blood.
Not so lovely.
Quite. When the police investigated, they discovered that each of these girls had visited the discotheque of nights on the evening of their murder.
What is this discotheque of nights?
Sounds like some kind of a nightclub.
Bang on, Roy. It is a nightclub. The discotheque of nights is London's hottest new night spot.
Really? I've not heard of it.
But if you were a pretty young lady, things would be very different.
You're telling me.
While you've been in Saint-Tropez, your days filled with trampolines and fish, whatever you youngsters are up to these days, the discotheque of nights has cemented itself as the place for the young of London to play.
I see. So you believe this establishment to be the centre of some kind of vampiric epidemic?
Worse than that, Professor Chesterfield. Do you two know where this club is?
Look, Sir Maxwell, I'm not a knower, I'm a doer. I don't need to know where somewhere is to go there. I employ a man for that kind of thing.
If I was to say Whitechapel, if I was to say it was on the site of a ruined monastery, and if I was to tell you the name of that monastery was St. Basil the Great...
Sir Maxwell... Surely you're not saying someone has been foolish enough to...
Yes!
No!
Yes!
What?
Yes!
200 years ago, on that very site, the most fearsome vampire ever to stalk London was put to death, staked through his heart. A heart filled not with blood, but with evil. Evil blood.
Indeed.
You don't mean Count Orloff.
That's where you're wrong, Roy. We do mean Count Orloff.
Jesus.
So you wish us to purge this discotheque of its vampiric influence? We must start at once. Every minute we delay could result in the corruption of more innocents.
Whoa, 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 Lorimer. Put those stakes away. This situation calls for subtlety. Subtlety and tact.
Is that because the place will be entirely full of girls?
Yes. Also, it's only 10:30 in the morning.
You cats are great. Seriously, you crack me up. I love you like brothers or something. Or my own sons. Now get out of my house.
Well, here we are, Lorimer, old man. The discotheque of knights. Look at it. A veritable temple devoted to ladies. And every one of them are lovely. Hello, madam.
Roy, I don't really feel comfortable with this. We should just get to work and be out of here as soon as we can.
Now, wait just a minute there, fella. We need to mingle with all these young ladies and find out everything we can. Hopefully it will lead us to the source of the vampiric activity. To Count Orloff himself. To do that, we have to use the wonderful gifts that nature has given us. And talk to them.
Talk? To girls?
What could be simpler?
Oh, God.
What's wrong, old fella?
Roy, I'll admit something to you, and I'll admit this. I haven't spoken to a woman in 12 months.
What? Since...
That's right. After my wife was killed, I couldn't even look at another woman. For 3 months. Seriously, if I looked at a woman, I was physically sick. Now, I can look, but only from afar. I haven't gone as far as speaking to one.
Lorimer, what happened to you was a terrible, terrible tragedy. But you can't let that ruin your life.
I know, Roy. It's just, every time I go up to a woman, I see her face.
Look, if it makes it easier for you, think of a woman as a bit like a man.
Don't be a fool.
No, listen. In many ways, your life is easier than mine. When I see a woman, I see a beautiful lady. Someone to take out on the town. Maybe take her to the park, show her the ducks. And then afterwards, when we've made a connection, a real physical connection, maybe I'll take her back to my penthouse apartment in Mayfair and cook her a branded instant soup. It's not something I can help. It's my calling. It's what I was put on God's marvelous world to do. But you, yours is a world of facts. You need to see a woman like you see a fact.
In a book.
Well, we don't have time for that. Just imagine she's an equation, ready to be solved.
I'm not really a mathematician.
Whatever.
What if I thought of her as a mystery, ready to be uncovered?
Yeah, you do that. Let's get to it. This cravat doesn't wear itself.
But where to begin? There are so many of them.
Well, we've all had that problem. But look at them closely. If I know my girls, that over there is the daughter of Lord Stockton English, the shipping baron. And that... is the young ward of Sir Thorley Blackwell, Minister of Fine Foods. Wait, that's Lydia Beryl Fineliner, the niece of the Home Secretary.
How do you know all this, Roy?
I study the papers.
And by papers you mean ladies?
Yes, I do.
Roy, over at the bar, isn't that a woman?
Lorimer Chesterfield. If I didn't know you better, I'd say you were quite the ornithologist.
Well, I do own a pair of binoculars.
Not now, fella. Time and a place. Ooh. Hang on a minute.
Roy, where are you going? Come back.
I can't help it. It's like I'm drawn to her by a mysterious force, and I don't want it to stop.
What do I do?
You find one of your own. Hang loose, Lorimer. Stay cool.
I don't know what either of those things mean. Oh, he's gone. Right. Well, okay, I'm looking for a woman.
Hello there.
Hello. I saw you looking at me. I just had to meet you.
Understandable. My name is...
Roy Steele, yes, I know. The world's second greatest big game hunter.
Second?
We rarely have men of such caliber in the discotheque of knights. I have some friends who would be very interested in meeting you.
Yes, but second best.
Wounded pride, Mr. Steele? I would have thought better of you. After all the stories my friends and I have heard of you, they sound so exciting.
Well, in that case, please, call me Roy.
Drink, Roy.
Thanks.
Two Bloody Marys and easy on the Mary.
An exotic drink for an exotic lady.
You should meet my friends.
I intend to.
Hello.
Yes.
What?
I mean, hello.
You seem nervous.
Sorry, it's because I'm nervous.
You shouldn't be, you know. You're a very alluring man.
Oh, I wouldn't know about that.
No, really. You have a presence.
I'm sure you say that to all the men. Oh, hang on, no, that sounded bad. Sorry, I meant you must have a lot of men. No, wait, sorry. No, I meant you must be very practiced in the art of... No, hang on.
It has been a long time since you spoke to a woman, I think.
I've sent them letters. Well, I say letters, I mean memos. I have a secretary.
Please stay with me. I am Carlotta, Dark Knight.
Ooh, what an exotic name. My name is Lorimer Chesterfield. Professor Lorimer Chesterfield.
It is a good thing you have come here. You need to relax, to let yourself go.
I'm afraid that would be impossible. I'm here on business.
Business?
Yes, my dear. I'm an academic. I work at London's London University.
And what business could an academic have at the discotheque of knights?
I'm looking for vampires.
You're looking for...
yes, very good. Well, listen, I can see you're not a threat, so if you'll excuse me,
what?
I'll just...
You're going?
Well, yes. What else would I do with you?
A drink?
I shouldn't really. I'm on duty.
On duty? I thought you said you were an academic. What duties does an academic have?
I'm also a monster hunter.
Wait, so you weren't kidding about the vampire thing?
Absolutely not. Joking about something like that could get you killed.
Oh, really?
No, it's true. My fellow professor, Professor Gudgeon, made a joke about a vampire once. The next day, dead.
Killed by a vampire?
No, he was hit by a car. But I'm pretty sure the car was being driven by a vampire.
Pretty sure?
Well, I hope so. I blew it up. One of the signs of vampirism is reckless driving. And not having a reflection.
Garlic?
No, thanks. Look, I must get on.
No, stay! Your life sounds very interesting. Maybe we could get to know each other better. They have private rooms in the back.
And these private rooms, they're not very far.
Just follow me, darling.
I would follow you anywhere. Within reason. I've got a lot to do tonight.
Don't you want to meet my friends?
Are they all as lovely as you?
Lovelier. And so hungry.
Hey.
For the company of a real man. You are a real man.
Oh, yes. Look, I have a certificate.
This is it.
Through this door?
Through this door, 20 of my friends, all eager to meet Roy Steele.
Well, that I can help with. Good evening, ladies. Welcome. Ooh!
I see you've noticed my eyes. Aren't they lovely?
Yes. Well, they're very... Oh, that's odd.
What?
Well, earlier on I could have sworn they were brown, but now I see they're a lovely red colour.
Red with passion.
Ah, I see. Well, anyway, I better be off. Take care.
No, wait!
Yes?
Stay with me.
Well, I suppose I could, just for a bit.
Good boy. Tell me more of these vampires.
Well, you often find one head vampire who changes pretty young ladies into vampires.
So you're on the lookout for pretty young ladies?
Well, yes, I suppose so. You see, these ladies then coax gullible men to their dooms so they can drink their blood.
And how do they do that?
Usually quite obvious methods. They sit them down, flirt with them, seduce them, probably buy them a drink.
I see. Would you like a drink?
Well, all right then.
And then? What would a vampire do next?
Well, once she's lured him into a false sense of security, she would probably just expose his neck and go in for the kill.
I see. Would you like a massage?
Oh, thanks very much.
Good.
Oh, I must say, this is very pleasant. I was prepared to come here tonight just for work, to hunt for monsters. But after meeting you, I feel there might be more to the world than just vampires. Oh, are you all right, my dear? You sound a little throaty.
it's nothing. I have sinus problems.
Oh, really? Well, my aunt was a martyr to her sinuses.
But enough of aunts. Relax. Enjoy. Pleasure.
Oh, Carlotta, this is... Oh, I feel wonderful.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I haven't been this relaxed and unguarded in years.
Close your eyes, darling.
Lorimer! Get away from him, Satan's lovely!
Roy, what on earth?
She's a vampire!
What? Are you sure?
Look at her teeth, man!
Oh, yes, so she is.
That's it. Come to Papa, you she-bitch!
Careful, Roy. I know what you like around young women.
Ha!
Ooh!
Unhand him, you sinful vixen!
Hello there.
Roy, don't be fooled by her vampiric charms.
It's too late for that.
Your crucifix, Roy. Use your crucifix.
Shut it, Lorimer. This is man's work.
Don't listen to him, my darling. It's just you and me.
Hold on, Roy. In my pocket. Ha! Have some of this.
Darling, you wouldn't use that steak on me, would you? You'd miss me.
I never miss.
Well, she's certainly dead. I'd stake my reputation on it.
Oh, do you have to?
Yes. Yes, I do. So, you keep a stake in your trousers?
Yes. What?
Nothing.
Why are you covered in blood?
I had a bit of a run-in with a group of evil devil women.
Oh, sounds nasty.
Well, I've had worse.
If only we knew what was going on here.
Oh, I do.
You do?
Yes. I managed to get a confession out of the harpies in the back room. It seems that Count Orloff has been converting the prettiest and most influential ladies who frequent this place into vampires. The goal is to use them to gain access to the most powerful men in London and eventually take over the country. Then the world.
I see. And the women that were found dead?
Ones that didn't make the grade. If the girls were deemed not attractive or important enough, they were discarded.
Oh, how horrible.
Well, we've all been there. You have to have standards.
You're a bad, bad man, Roy Steele.
Thanks. So, what's next?
We need to find Count Orloff. If we can destroy him, all the ladies who he's turned will become human again.
Sold. So, how do we find this Count Orloff?
If I know my head vampires, we won't need to. He will have been watching this whole time, and he will come to us. All we need do is wait.
Very well. Drink?
Well, why not? Roy, I need to tell you something. I've done extensive research into the history of Count Orloff. He's a bad un, Roy. 200 years ago, during his tyrannical reign of terror, many monster hunters tried to defeat him. All of them failed.
I know all that.
No, you don't understand. Here, on this ground, in 1771, he was defeated. And the man who defeated him was Ignatius Chesterfield.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Sorry, who is Ignatius Chesterfield?
My great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather.
No.
Yes.
No.
Sorry, can we stop this? There's a lot to get through.
Yeah, sorry. Go on.
He knew that although he had cleansed the world of Count Orloff's poison, there was always a chance he would return. He made my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather swear that if Count Orloff rose again, the Chesterfield family would be ready. Don't you see, Roy? That's why I became Professor of Occult Studies at London's London University. That's why I accepted Sir Maxwell House's offer.
Right. Is this going anywhere?
In times of great danger, When it seemed the Count Orloff might strike again, I was to prepare a protection, first discovered in Italy. A recipe invented by my family to protect the world against vampires. A protection used by Ignatius Chesterfield himself when he faced Count Orloff. And here it is.
My God. What is it?
A garlic baguette. Here, eat this. Its powers will protect you against Count Orloff.
Garlic? Are you mad? There are still tens of ladies in here. What's that?
It sounds to me like entrance music. We better get ready. Ah!
It's Count Orloff!
Yes, well done. Well, well, gentlemen, here we are.
Are we?
Yes. You have made your way to my humble discotheque. Here you will dance the final dance, the dance of death.
I don't do dancing, Orloff, but I do staking.
What?
No, no, it's fine, it works.
Well, are you going to stake him then?
My arm! I can't move!
Roy, you didn't eat the garlic bread. He's using his vampire powers on you.
That's it. Kneel before me.
No, no, it's Roy.
Is this the best they can send against me? An idiot and a chef?
No chef, Count Orloff. Look again.
Hang on. I know that face.
Yes, you do. For I
no,
am...
No, wait! Don't tell me. I'm getting there.
I am...
I said wait! There's something about your pointy nose, your square chin, hair like silky straw.
200 years ago, on this very spot...
Hang on, with the nose, see something, chessman.
That's right, Count Orloff, Chesterfield.
That's it. You know, that was on the tip of my tongue, as you will be shortly.
What?
Never mind, I thought of that in the shower.
And you...
You are the last of the Chesterfield line. Your ancestor did indeed stop me, but only temporarily. I slumbered, wounded, but still undead. If he failed to stop me once and for all, what chance do you have? It is fitting that it should be the blood of my mortal enemy that marks the restoration of my empire of blood. Watch, Chesterfield, as I nibble on your friend!
Lorimer!
What's the matter, Orloff? Mm. You need to feed on the weakest creature in the room? Can't deal with a real man?
Now hang on.
How dare you! I could swallow you in 3 gulps.
Prove it.
Very well. See how I advance on you.
Yes?
See how I bare my fangs at you and... Ah! Garlic! You nasty man!
Glorimer, your garlicky breath has freed me from his mental hold.
Good. Are you ready?
The stake's in hand.
You still think you can best me? You forget one thing.
What?
Look around you. Look at the ladies of the discotheque of nights, all bent to my will.
Lorimer, he's bent the ladies. Ow!
Oh, careful.
This one's hitting me with a table.
And in minutes you will be dead.
Quick, Roy, we must dispatch him.
But Lorimer, he's so powerful. The ladies, ow! Stop that!
Think of it this way. If we kill him, all of these ladies will be released from his spell, and they'll all want to thank you.
Good point. Get him.
With your stake and your crucifix, these children's toys might be enough to destroy a lesser creature, but I...
Yes, but I also have this vial of holy water.
Bucker!
Now, Roy, splash him.
Give him your bread as I stake him.
Good idea.
No!
Eat the bread. Eat it.
Oh, spicy. That's not too bad.
Well, here he is, Sir Maxwell. Count Orloff's earthly remains, now naught but ash in this jar.
Roy Steele, Professor Lorimer Chesterfield. What are you doing in my house? Suki, hide the silverware!
Think about it, Sir Maxwell.
What? Something about the grouting. Oh no, the vampire! That's right!
We have managed to dispatch the demon, trapping his earthly remains and freeing all his victims forever.
Yes. He's certainly out for the count. We can count on never seeing him again. We've closed his account.
Please, stop it.
No! More!
In this jar, Sir Maxwell, are the remaining ashes of Orloff. It is vital this jar remains sealed and stored in a safe place.
I wondered what you were doing on your hands and knees.
Yes, Roy. Thanks for your assistance. Where did you disappear to, anyway?
Well, remember what Orloff said about 100 vampire ladies?
Yes.
And remember what you said about how Orloff's death would free the ladies?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Free ladies.
Hmph. Excellent. Good work, Roy. You know, I didn't know you cats had it in you. Suki, call those other guys up. Tell them we won't need them after all.
Sir Maxwell, it is vitally important these ashes are placed into top security storage immediately. The fate of the world rests upon it. Should they get
free...
Yeah,
okay. You guys deserve some time off.
Now you're talking.
Roy, I've been talking all this time. You two run along. I think you can leave these ashes with me.
If you're sure...
Please leave now.
You know, Lorimer, have you ever met a little blonde girl called Trudy?
No, I can't say I have.
Well, you have now. I told her I was friends with a milk tray man.
But I don't look like the milk tray man.
No, it's fine. I told her to stand very far away.
Roy, Lorimer, hello? Oh, they've gone. Well, Suki, another job well done. What say you? Fine. Bye, then! Well, what's a cat got to do to get a drink around here? Oh, damn! Suki, get a broom! And they've spilled some kind of... What is that? Some kind of potpourri or something. Suki! 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 I'm not actually dead!
The Discotheque of Nights was written and directed by Peter Davis and Matthew Woodcock. With Simon Dillon Kane as Count Orloff and Sir Maxwell House, Peter Davis as Ignatius and Lorimer Chesterfield, Matthew Woodcock as Roy Steele, Laura Marshall as Yutta the Vampire Lady, Amy Larkham as Carlotta Dark Knight, and the Eversley Singers as the Evil Devil Women. Engineered and edited by Peter Davis. Music and sound effects supplied by Chaotic Creations. With thanks to Heather Dool, Laura Davis, and Emma Gibbs. Visit our website at www.themonsterhunters.com. This was a Newgate production.
And that's when I discovered that Juliet Bravo is the name of the program and not the name of the character.
Oh, hello there.
Hello.
Welcome to Behind the Monster Hunters, the making of the Monster Hunters with the Monster Hunters. This is Peter Davis and Matthew Woodcock.
Good evening.
And we're here to talk to you about the Monster Hunters.
Indeed we are.
So, hi, how are you?
I'm well.
Good.
Are you well?
I'm all right, thank you.
How are you at home?
I don't want to talk about it.
No, that's fine.
So, beginning with episode one, the Discotheque of Nights.
Ah, those were the days.
So, Matthew, where did you first meet Peter Davis?
Where did you...
Oh, that's me, isn't it?
That's you.
Sorry. Right, yeah.
Well, I first met you many years ago. The year, I believe, was 2002.
Yeah.
It would have been 2002. And we were at the
London Dungeon.
London's worst attraction.
Yes.
As they called it. What were you doing?
I was an actor.
You were.
Playing different characters like Jack the Ripper and a horrible torturer and a judge.
If you'd come down the London Dungeon in about 2002, 2003 and thought, oh, I'm going to get a really educational view of some of London's horrific history. Oh, Jack the Ripper, that's a really
You would have got Matthew
terrible
pretending thing. To be a French sailor talking about sponges. So we've done some different comedy shows.
Yeah, we did a version of Hamlet involving a sock puppet.
We did a Doctor Who play and we did a Sherlock Holmes play.
After that, we did Sherlock Holmes for Wireless, didn't we?
Yeah, for the Wireless Theatre Company.
We did Sherlock Holmes Strikes Back, which is still available from other sources. In which we set it in the 1940s.
Yes.
Sherlock Holmes in the 1940s fighting the Nazis. And why not? So that was you, me, Laura Marshall. Laura Marshall.
Yeah, as she was at that time, before I married her.
Nearly let the cat out of the bag.
Simon Kane.
Simon Kane. And was it Panny?
Panny Scrivaros. Who was in Monster Hunters as well.
Yes, indeed. So it was basically Sherlock Holmes Strikes Back. Yeah. If you want to know where the Monster Hunters started, I would go and listen to that.
And then this is all your fault, really, because Matthew is a big fan of the old Hammer horror films, which I hadn't really seen much of before we started this venture. So where did the idea come from in your brain? Can you remember?
Well, I was walking through Windsor Great Park.
Oh, here we go.
As you do. As you do. I think I was walking through Windsor Great Park and
you
I think
attacked
I was...
by a werewolf!
I was walking through Windsor Great Park and I suddenly was thinking about... Because I also like stuff like The Persuaders and The Avengers. Lots of old 1960s TV shows that were, and early 70s TV shows, which are a bit like, they're all very, very similar to each other. They're all kind of a specific formula of a playboy adventurer going around beating up criminals or spies.
Lots of moustaches.
And a lot of moustaches. So things like Jason King, and particularly The Persuaders with Roger Moore and Tony Curtis. So there is a very large dollop of that in it, and there is a very large dollop of Hammer, particularly if you want to set text for the Monster Hunters. I would suggest Dracula AD 1972. They bring Dracula back to life, basically, and then it's all set
to the modern world of 1972.
With miniskirts and coffee bars, and it's basically the groovy 70s through the prism of people who probably weren't very groovy anymore, I think. And I think that's why I like it, because it's just kind of slightly off.
So we did it as a play, the play version.
The first London Horror Festival.
Yeah, the London Horror Festival.
Which is in London, which is the capital city of the United Kingdom.
And it's a performing arts festival every October. It's still going on. It's very, very good. From strength to strength. And in the play, the main story was revolved around the discotheque of nights.
That was the genesis. And then we said, why don't we do a podcast?
Yeah, well, I'd been doing some radio plays already
as a
editor and sound designer, that sort of thing. So we knew we could do it. All you need really is time.
You don't need those costumes at all. You don't. We were naked.
We do every episode naked.
Yeah.
And because of, that's, you know, exclusive. Rustling fibres, that sort of thing.
It's freeing, it's more relaxing for us as performers.
Yeah. So yeah, we decided to do it as a radio play, and then we thought we'd release it as a podcast.
Well, it's an audio, because we were never formally commissioned for radio. And at the time, nobody was really doing that anyway, I don't think. It wasn't
we were the first ever podcast.
We were the first. We actually invented the I think,
we did.
Wasn't it one it of was, us that came up with the word podcast?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not true. It was fairly early on in the whole podcasting thing.
It wasn't as big as it is now.
No, we decided the we'd split the play into the three stories we had and write an additional new three stories and make a six-part series.
That'll
so the
work.
First episode was the Discotheque of Nights, which we had done most of as a live play.
I don't think it needed that much rewriting, did it?
No, not really.
The main thing I remember we needed to do was bolt together the sequences and remove the Discotheque of Nights sequences, and then remove the bits that linked it to the stories that we were going to do later on in the series. So it was kind of removing anything that pushed into a flashback.
And that's where Count Orloff was born as well, which we had obviously done on stage before, played by Simon Caine,
who is also an alumni of the Dungeon. We worked with him.
Yeah, in fact, all of those actors.
Yeah, everybody we worked with.
Amy Larkham and Laura Marshall.
Everyone was from the Dungeon.
Pretty much.
Because we had a good tight group of actors there who we knew would be able to handle this kind of stuff, and we all gelled together very easily.
So yeah.
It was kind of like we had a shorthand, I think. The biggest difference I noticed listening to it again from later episodes is that Sir Maxwell House is probably a bit more competent.
He is. I noticed that as well. Listening recently.
And I noticed that he doesn't actually get...
He's not a massive moron at the beginning.
No, that changes in about episode three.
Spoilers.
He's suddenly a bit... So listen out for that. Mm-hmm. But he can hold a conversation in the first one.
He knows what he's doing. Which we didn't carry that on for very long. And of course it ends with Sir Maxwell knocking over the ashes. And we didn't actually have any particular specific plans at the time what to do with Orloff next, but we knew that we wanted to leave that open to bring him back.
That also comes from that fact that, you know, at the end of every Dracula film, Dracula...
Yeah, he dies forever, and then
they bring him back
a year
so
later.
So you want to have him available.
Yeah, and he might come back.
Who knows? Who knows?
Well, we do.
Yeah.
Because we wrote it.
And it's been about 6 years. Yeah. Maybe longer, I can't remember.
Well, I think that's about it on the first episode, Discotheque at Nights.
I believe so it is.
We will join you at the end of the second episode to talk more about that one. Episode 2, The Heir of the Dog. Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Peter.
Anytime.
I will keep that in mind.
And we'll be back in your ears very soon.
Yes. Prepare yourselves.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.